God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When God the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, let there be lights. Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. Boy, I bet God's surprised. I bet God didn't see this one coming. The figurehead Biden, more specifically the people who run him and program him and boss him around, deciding to allow Ukraine to use a United States-made and provided long-range missile to fire into the interior of Russia. I bet God is befuddled and shocked. Nope. Who does this? Who, at one of the most precarious moments in any Republican form of democracy, which is the transfer of power, who decides to deepen our hole that we're digging for ourselves in between Ukraine and Russia? Who decides to do that? Not the names. We can only guess at the names. My guesses are Barack Hussein Obama, Susan Rice, the entities that run BlackRock and Vanguard and Citibank and Google, all of whom are making gobs of money building Ukraine back, but by the way, building it back better. What with vaccine passports and digital passports to cash your government checks because we're paying for the pensions of Ukrainian officials. So why not have them use a digital payment form created by some big American companies? Why not? That's building back better. So what is the psychology of a person who says the electorate just voted to put Donald Trump in power despite all the efforts to paint him as an unrepentant serial rapist, to paint him as a felon with 46 felonies based off of one bookkeeping misdemeanor, if that. The United States electorate voted in impressive form. Everywhere there was voter ID, Trump won. Every state that checks voter ID, Trump won. The states where he didn't win don't have voter ID. That's where Democrats won. So what sort of person, if we were to profile them, would say, hey, there's a transfer of power. There's a new president coming in. He's got a new vision for the country. He's got another view of this war. He's made that clear. He wants a negotiated peace. Even the New York Times has been forced to admit in a guest essay or guest editorial that this war is lost, that Ukraine cannot be rescued. Even the New York Times had to admit this. So let's start with the psychographic profile of someone who would, on the last few months of the Biden regime and the people who run Joe Biden, let's start with one word, hubris. Hubris. Doesn't that describe the sort of person who, on this last few weeks, few months of Joe Biden being in power, is someone who is taken with hubris, excessive pride, or defiance of the gods, leading to nemesis? Defiance to the gods or to God? Well, we know that the people who run Joe Biden stand adverse to God in every way, shape, matter, idea, faction, and form. So that seems to fit. A cousin to hubris, of course, is human pride. Well, we're doing the right thing. We need to make sure that Trump is trapped into this. It would be someone who doesn't learn from mistakes, if in fact they consider them mistakes. Now we get a little bit more complicated. From hubris and pride down into a question mark. back in the day before he became senile and probably with Parkinson's, Joe Biden warned the United States of America, if you would like to have Vladimir Putin become physically aggressive, kinetic, if you'd like him to start a war, then create a NATO nation on his doorstep and he'll start a war. So we did. And he did. We're supposed to call her Toria Nuland now. She decided to change her name after she became infamous as Victoria Nuland, a woman who was caught on a phone call with a State Department-CIA colleague deciding after the coup, who should run Ukraine? That was their discussion. We've decided to topple a supposedly independent country. Who should run it? Biden warned us. Here's how to make a war. We made a war. Putin has warned us. If you give long-range missiles to Ukraine and you let them use them to fire into my country, I will consider it a direct act of war against me and my country. So we did it. Hubris, pride, what else? Well, I can tell you this. In terms of behavioral profiling, these are not people who are in the line of fire. Or so they think. They're safe. Should Putin decide to, allow a South American country that he sponsors to carry out a grievance against the United States, say for a coup we launched down there, to say, sure, go ahead and fire exactly one long-range missile into the interior of the United States, and I'll give you permission to do that. And we would at this point say what? Not fair? And Putin could say, it's just a territorial dispute. I'm praying he doesn't do that. But I'm considering the psychological profile of the people who bossed Joe Biden into making this decision. So we have pride, we have hubris, we have insulated from perceived harm. What else do we have? What's at stake? Well, the world. I mean, if things really, really got out of hand, if Putin really did decide to let a South American country that he sponsors, or maybe North Korea, lob a missile, or maybe Iran, lob a missile into the interior of the United States, and let's just pick a city. Let's pick Dallas. Or maybe the outskirts of Dallas. Let's pick Fort Worth. Let's pick Cowboys Stadium. We would say what? It's not fair. I think the American spirit would be this. This is what I believe. I think the American flesh response, and I get it because I think I'd have the same response, would be, okay, it's on. All right. You poke the bear, it's on. Let's go. Let's finally get this on. That's not what Jesus would say. At this point, I don't think. Do you? Do you? This is a war of convenience. It's a war of choosing. So if you continue the psychographic profiling of the people who told Joe Biden to do this, what are the stakes of the game for them? Because they may perceive that they're physically safe from a Putin attack. That's they may have the money. They almost certainly have the money to own one of those missile silo homes in Montana, and some are in Utah, some are in Wyoming. You've seen these, right? These are former nuclear missile silos turned into survival cities for people. Have you seen these? Thousands of feet deep into these really entrenched mountainsides. You could live in there for 4 or 5 years. You have air filtering and you have air circulation, recirculation, you have food, you have water. You've built up enough time to build renewable resources in there with greenhouses that provide oxygen, carbon dioxide exchange. So it's an ecosystem. It's an underground world. So they may perceive themselves to be safe from that. But what makes this worthwhile? Because I could tell you this, psychographically, behaviorally, these people have a lot of power, which means they have a lot of money, which means they've probably been motivated throughout their lives by money. Is this as simple as money? Is this as simple as Ukraine being the place that actually carries out our chemical weapons research? That is actually housing the biological weapons we've built? Is it as simple as that? That we have such low regard for the people of Ukraine that we set up these labs and that this corrupt boss, Zelensky, said, sure, set up 26 biolabs here. I don't care. It's just people. It's just the little people. Is that the stakes of the game? Well, by the way, why is it that only Senator Mike Lee and Senator Rand Paul and Congressman Thomas Massey have called this out for what it is? An unconstitutional escalation of the war. This takes our proxy war with Russia and makes it far less proxy. I wonder, are we to believe it was Ukrainians who fired our missile? Who worked on the targeting system? We taught them to do that? I remember when there were advisors sent over there. American advisors on ground. Would it change things materially in the eyes of Vladimir Putin if an American soldier fired the missile? It would to me. But then again, clearly I'm a Putin tool. Clearly I stand with Vladimir Putin because they don't want to see this escalation of the war. Because I see two very corrupt countries. Russia and Ukraine in a proxy war with another very corrupt country, the United States of America. Fallen. Hopeful. There are some people who hate President Trump for the same reasons that people love him. And I'm not talking about mean tweets. There are people who love the mean tweets that President Trump puts out or mean social media posts on Truth Social. There are people who are entertained by that. There are people who are entertained by the president's sometimes persona he puts on, the professional wrestling persona. President Trump loves that, man. He is at heart a performer, and he is skilled, and God has given him great skill there, and God uses that in him. That's not what I'm talking about. There are reasons that people hate President Trump for the same reasons people love him. But they don't know it. Have you ever met a person and you have an intrinsic dislike for them? This happened about 6 months ago. I have some boards I sit on and some businesses I help people with and just some associations I'm with. And I don't know why I have this intrinsic unease around this man. But there's a man I interact with. I want to be clever here. I want to just don't be specific because I don't want to hurt feelings. But I don't feel safe around him. I would never entrust him with a secret. I would never seek friendship with him. I feel ooky. I thought I was the only one, and I spoke this to a friend of mine not wanting to bear false witness, talk behind people's backs, to gossip. I just said, hey, what do you think of this person? My friend said, he really gives me the creeps. There are people in the power structure who hate President Trump for the same reason that you might love President Trump. And I don't think most people are aware of what they're loving and hating in the same man. We'll talk about this as we continue. I'm Todd Herman. This is A Disciple's View. appreciate you listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. In the first segment, we explored the fact that God is not surprised that the people who run Joe Biden told him to let Ukraine take one of our missiles and fire it into the interior of Russia. It's just a continuance of the pattern. Joe Biden warned us before he became senile that here's how to start a war with Russia. Park a NATO country on their doorstep and you'll get your war. We got our war. That came after Victoria Nuland, who likes to call herself Toria now, a State Department hack and revolutionary who likes to go around toppling other countries for our benefit, decided to start a coup. She's on an audio tape, phone call, discussing with one of her colleagues, State Department and or CIA cutout, sheep dipped one way or the other. Hey, who should we choose to run this sovereign country of Ukraine, whose sovereignty is very important to us? And we were talking about if Putin were to decide, okay, fair is fair, you took one of your missiles and let one of your satellites, your 51st state of Ukraine, fire it into my country, I'll let, Cuba or Venezuela do the same to you with one of ours. I pray that doesn't happen. I don't think it will. And we were talking about the psychographic profile of the people who would cause Joe Biden to do this. Prideful, having hubris, considering themselves physically safe from war, probably having tons of money, which in America equals tons of power. And then we were talking about this dynamic that I think exists, that there are people who hate President Trump for the same reason that people love him. And there are people who love President Trump because President Trump speaks roughly, sometimes harshly, sometimes beautifully. But often he'll come out and say things in really brutal form that hadn't been done in American politics for, 100 years. And he brought that back. Some people love the fact that the man, apparently God will not let them knock him out. That has to be so frustrating. That's easy to love. It's easy to love a guy who is shot in his ear, a couple of inches from his brain, and his response is fight, fight, fight. Man, that's easy to love. A guy who's being sued in every state in the country, it seemed at one time, facing 40 years in prison and the theft of his business. Fight, fight, fight. Well, I can see his adversaries hating him for that. But I think people love him because he's going to be consequential. And I think people hate him because he's going to be consequential. President Trump will be the most consequential president in history. Absent office, he really already is. He was the most consequential deposed president in the 4 years that he wasn't in Oval Office. He, or God through him, has shown how utterly corrupt the system is, how willing Democrats are to use lawfare, and this is super important. Please hear this. President Trump is going to be so consequential that the Democrats have spent the last 2 years prepping an environment. This is special forces speak sometimes, that you prep an environment. If you're going to do an invasion, one of the things you do is to prep an environment supply chain wise. How are we going to supply ourselves? Human assets. You're going into a district, you're going to invade, you're looking for some human assets. Who will help us hide? Who will be eyes and ears for us? Who will be an advance team? You're prepping the environment. You're prepping it sometimes psychologically, building up in the mind of the enemy. You can't win. Shock and awe. We are coming with such overwhelming force. You can't win. You're prepping a mental environment. Over the past 2 years, with the obvious use of lawfare, that's warfare using lawyers, against President Trump, overwhelming number of cases and forms and functions never called by the Mockingbird media lawfare. Now the environment's prepped. This is where it gets really consequential. In Pennsylvania, counties are defying their Supreme Court to continue to count illegal ballots. I didn't say supposedly illegal. I didn't say allegedly. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court has said, you will not count ballots that don't have dates or are misdated. They will not count. Four counties in Pennsylvania in an attempt, and this is me speaking. This is Todd Herman. This is not pre-approved by AFR. This is me. That looks to me to be an obvious, prideful, defiant attempt to openly steal an election. One of the county council members, a woman, in fact, said, paraphrasing her, she's doing this, she is breaking the law to get the courts to pay attention to this. Her name, I believe, is Diane Marseglia. She said, paraphrasing, I am breaking the law to get the courts to pay attention to this. The court already did. The court said, you don't get to count those ballots. They're counting them. Openly. Republican lawyers sued. This got back to the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court just said, hey, hear us. You shall cease and desist counting these ballots. The Democrats have said, nah. We're going to appeal. And while we're appealing, maybe we'll just keep counting. President Trump is going to be the most consequential president in history. He's always, is already the most consequential non-president in history. Consequential no matter what he does in this case. They're illegally counting illegal ballots in full, open, prideful defiance of their own Supreme Court. And this woman said, I am breaking the law so courts will pay attention. So President Trump should say to an appointed federal prosecutor, if need be, appoint that federal prosecutor during a recess in the Senate, appoint a real federal prosecutor who will come along to that woman and say, okay, all right, we paid attention. You are under arrest. You and everybody who aided in this scheme to openly, defiantly, in defiance of Supreme Court ruling, continue to count these illegal ballots, you will be frog marched. You will be charged with election interference. You will be charged with election fraud. You will be prosecuted to the fullest possible extent of the law. We will look into everybody who aided you with this. We will do everything we can to put you in front of a jury of your peers. We will make the case, and we will be asking for the ultimate, full, longest possible sentence in the deepest, darkest federal prison we can possibly get. And may God have mercy on your soul. Did I just describe revenge? No. This is why I was talking about prepping the environment. Do you remember this? Here's what will happen. The Mockingbird Media is already building the case. Believe it or not, they've paid or at least brought academics onto their network. And they may be paid contributors. They may not be. It's pointless to guess. They brought academics onto their networks. And you know what the academics are saying? Hold on to your seat. This is going to surprise you. Ready? President Trump might use lawfare. He might break with democratic norms and seek to use the Justice Department to punish his political enemies. Democrats are so brilliant at this. Poison the pond. Push your opponent to having to violate their own principles. Do to them what you hope they do to you so that you can step back and go, oh, I can't believe you're doing this to me. If President Trump fails to pursue this, he has become the most consequential president in history. An open stealing of an election, in my judgment, in Pennsylvania. If he does it, he'll be the most consequential president in history. So what direction do we take? I have an idea. What if we just do what God says? You shall not steal. They're stealing. You shall not lord your power over others. They are. A proper legal response to open attempts to defraud an election is a dispassionate application of the law. You are trying to steal an election. You are going to be arrested, taken to trial, and if you're convicted, we're going to seek the harshest possible sentence. And the good news for you is it's just here on earth. You have every opportunity to repent. See, this is what people, I think, that Mitch McConnell and Nancy Pelosi sense about President Trump. He's consequential. That really freaks them out, that he's so consequential. If he weren't consequential, they wouldn't care. But they do. They care about his nominees in unique ways. When they take someone like Pete Hegseth and they reduce him to Fox News host, that's because they fear he's going to be consequential. Consequential presidents appoint consequential people to serve the administration. So when they reduce Pete Hegseth to, he's a Fox News host, that's what he is, and they choose to not mention the fact that he has two Ivy League degrees and an undergraduate degree, bachelor's from Princeton, two degrees, graduate degrees from Harvard, Ivy League, that he served our country in 8 years in combat, that he is a student of war and the people who make war. It's because they fear he's going to be consequential. How could he be biblically consequential? You've noticed, by the way, that they've discovered that the cross he wears on his arm, that's white supremacy, because it has a tree next to it, because that's never happened before. What would be an approach to that? I have an idea. Has the Pentagon ever passed an audit? To my knowledge, no. They've failed every single major audit. How? Because they keep doing things like misplacing $60 billion. Whoops. We're to be wise stewards of the money God provides us. I'm not installing a theocracy. Pete Hegseth is a confessing Christian. He will be given some earthly control, some power. He'll be told to steward those resources. Pete Hegseth should, in stewarding those resources, look into, hey, what happened to that $60 billion? Where did that go? We're not going to have that anymore. That would be consequential. When you work for an organization like the Pentagon that's been shown that there are no restraints, no one's going to put you in jail, there's no skin in the game, no one gets fired, why not lose track of $6 billion and maybe go find it after you retire? Oh, that's where I put it, in my retirement account in Switzerland. Gosh darn it. Consequential. RFK Jr. is already consequential. It's not just on the topic of injections. It's on the topic of trans and kids. This has to terrify Big Pharma. Consequential. Nancy Pelosi and Mitch McConnell hate President Trump because he's going to be consequential. He already is. He is going to upset their cash flow machines. He already is. And I think that there are people who hate President Trump and don't work in D.C., but they're deeply in need of an illusion. The illusion of control. The illusion that everything is fine. Families need this. It's funny and it's tragic and it's true about the human psyche kids who have abusive parents will convince themselves, this is how parents love you. My dad beats me because my dad loves me. My mom hits me or neglects me because this is how she loves me. Here's the crazy psychological aspect of this. It's a survival tactic. I have to feel my parents love me, because if my own parents don't love me, I'm unlovable. It's nasty and it's true. So there are people who identify government as parent, not consciously, subconsciously. Mom and dad are fine. Who's this interloper? This consequential interloper who's coming and giving me these uneasy feelings in my gut that things aren't fine. I fear that man because he says my family's not doing well. My parents are going to get a divorce. I shouldn't be treated this way. This is not just a United States issue. It's a global issue. And it goes to the heart of consequence. There's nothing more consequential than truth. And in the UK, there is a vital and ongoing effort to stomp out truth. And the good news in this is the Lord Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And these people think they're simply attacking people praying. That's what they think. Play that audio for you when you continue. I'm Todd Herman. This is A Disciple's View. Thanks for listening to Disciples View. Remember, you can go to SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. It's Operation Christmas Child, and we are getting shoeboxes filled with gifts to send the kids. You can choose the gender. You can choose the age. This gives them an opportunity to be discipled into the Lord Jesus. It gives them a Christmas gift. Some of them have never received Christmas gifts. The team at SamaritansPurse.org/OCC are experts at getting these to kids. There's 4,700 drop-off locations. There's also this, though. This needs to happen now. So you can build your own box, or you can go online and simply choose what goes in the box. Know this, that there is always going to be outreach with the Word of God in this. So it's not just a gift for celebration of the birthday of the Lord Jesus and happy birthday, Jesus. It is a celebration of what God told us to do, to carry it out, to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to follow all that Jesus taught us. That's getting harder in the UK. Now, it's easy to watch this or listen to it and say, wow, what? We're losing hope, or we're losing, but just the opposite is true. So British police are now harassing Christians for preaching about Jesus.
You might be committing criminal offences as well.
For example.
Any homophobic comments?
Yeah. If you make a members of the public harassment, alarm, distress, it's a criminal offence.
I'm aware of that. Yeah. So that's what we're not really doing that. What we're doing is about preaching our religion.
Okay, could you just tell me what you were saying?
So we're saying Jesus is the only way, record this. We're saying, you asked me what I've been preaching. So we've been preaching about the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible says,
so
can I just speak?
No, I'm talking to you.
Excuse me?
Provide me with your name.
We were talking to him.
Now he's talking to me.
No.
So unless you want to be arrested, because you will be. No. You provide me your name now. So
I'll apply him my name.
Sir, what's
your name? My name?
Now.
Thank you.
You can take any other thing other than his name.
Thank you.
We'll spend the night in the cell, and we can do that.
So the female so-called cop who breaks in there is frustrated that that man didn't just simply stop and comply. He was simply saying, all we are saying is that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that no one gets to the Father but through him. And in Britain, there are people who get to wear the uniforms of cops, but they're not cops. They forfeited that. And they stand in front of a truck with a billboard that says, being offensive is an offense. Let's look at this from God's perspective. If we can. It's dangerous to try to do that. We can consult his word. We can spend time around Christians who are more mature. Let's look at this from that perspective. Number one, what is God's view on speech? Is he pro-free speech or not? That's a self-answering question. By the fact that I've asked the question, I have answered the question. You could right now decide that you want to curse God. You could. You could, in fact, blaspheme the Holy Spirit out loud. Please don't. That's a complicated piece of scripture, isn't it? That's an unforgivable sin. The unforgivable sin. So please don't do that. But you could choose to. I've been saying to God for the past 8 weeks, please don't make me do this. I'm really angry with you. Please help me have another way. I don't want this. I don't want to do this. And then God moved the game pieces and said, now you have to. Because your defiance is about to hurt someone. Someone you pledged to not hurt. Your move. See, he's pro-freedom. He's pro-free speech. And he also is pro-accountability. What I could also look at this is from this perspective. You fake cops think you are the ones who are going to stop the spreading of God's word. You think in your woke masks, in your Bobby outfits, with your little radios and your little books where you write people's names in them, with your shrill little, you'll talk to me or you'll spend the night in jail, you'll be the ones who will stomp out the word of Jesus. I don't know if God laughs at that. Maybe he does. But he has a book. It's not little. It's huge. It's called the Book of Life. And I worry about those cops, those fake cops. I worry about them. What will that be like the day that they face judgment and the Lord says, hey, do you remember when you had a job? And you were paid money to tell people to not speak my name and to not pray to me. Do you remember that? They'll be bowing. They will have confessed that Jesus is Lord. What if Jesus were to say to them, you had your reward. It was your paycheck. The food and the beer. And the holidays, you had your reward. Now depart from me for your eternity. You chose. You're going to the place you chose. Completely apart from me, but know this. You'll never ever have to be offended by hearing my word again. Sounds petty. I don't think the Lord would be petty. I think he'd simply render the judgment. Just as I think he will to the people who run Joe Biden, who told him, escalate the war. Get a biblical level World War III started. President Trump is going to be consequential. He already is. The closer to God he moves, the more consequential he will be. The Ten Commandments is guide to cleaning up the government. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. You shall have no gods above me. Nope, I'm not saying that he should force people to be Christian. Far from it, because that's not Christian. But we can look at the gods in our government. We can look at the gods they're worshiping. Gods like Tony Fauci. There's now 300 pages of evidence, Steve Kirsch says, from the CDC that shows that vaccines cause autism. How does it show that? In 300 pages of evidence, there are emails and voicemail messages and charts and graphs where CDC employees effectively admit, yeah, we know these things cause autism, but don't tell. Gods, small g, eliminate their positions. No one in government should be able to act in a godlike fashion because it makes it tempting to seek to be worshipped like people worship Pelosi, McConnell, paying them tribute, sacrificing for them. Let President Trump, with his team, pray that God take over. As frustrating as it is, on this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with their feature called The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents The Tower of Babbling.
Is it a boy or a girl? It's a they by Lindsay Harriet. This book is all about welcoming a new baby into the family and not knowing how that baby will identify when they grow up. So we're not going to be assuming their gender.
Oh my goodness. Oh, thank you for the new babbling. Appreciate that. Three sound bites in today's Tower of Babbling, almost always three. Joe Biden hasn't done anything to really help the people in North Carolina, but he decided to give $50 million to help sustain, pardon me? Oh, you know what just happened to me? Randy, who was running things behind the scenes, just pointed out to me, dude, you are reading the wrong show sheet. My apologies, Randy. Let's try that again. Three sound bites in today's Tower of Babbling, almost always three. John Oliver feverishly defends boys competing against girls in girls' sports.
There are vanishingly few trans girls competing in high schools anywhere. Even if there were more, trans kids, like all kids, vary in athletic ability, and there is no evidence they pose any threat to safety or fairness. It is very weird for you to be so focused on this subject. And finally, if you genuinely want to address the biggest concern for most girls who play high school sports, you'd be less worried about this and more about the creepy assistant volleyball coach who keeps liking their posts on Instagram.
Let's start in reverse. John Oliver says you should be more worried about a creepy assistant male volleyball coach who likes their posts on Instagram, more so than the creepy pretend girl with a fully intact set of male genitalia showering next to them in the showers? There's no evidence that women are at risk, other than the fact that there's a woman with a broken nose who was beaten up by a man during an Olympic boxing match, or the young woman who was in a basketball game and has been inexorably changed because of the injury she sustained, or the broken bones in a volleyball match. Well, other than that, there's no sign of it at all, John Oliver. How desperate you must feel to openly lie in ways that cannot be defended. Next soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. MSNBC attacks Pete Hegseth for his allegedly white supremacist and extremist tattoos.
And, you know, we should also say one of the things that's so important in this function, in this role, is the people of this country should have some understanding of who's going to be making decisions about their daily lives. Because let's remember, like when we're talking about the secretary here and Hegseth and his white supremacist and extremist tattoos on his body.
Okay, well, so much to say to this. Yes, wouldn't it be neat if we knew who was actually running the Biden White House for the past 8 years? Because it's clearly not been Joe Biden. Incidentally, the white supremacist tattoo. Yeah, it's an older version of the Christian cross and a pine tree. Appeal to heaven. Only white supremacists have that on their bodies. Obviously, everybody knows that. Last piece in today's Tower Babbling is not audio. No, it was too good. I had to include this. The New York Times decided to fact check RFK Jr. RFK Jr. did a video standing in front of a bunch of fake food, in other words, chemicals. And this is what the New York Times writes. In this fact check, they're saying that RFK is wrong because he's right. Listen to this. Mr. Kennedy has singled out Fruit Loops as an example of a product with too many artificial ingredients, questioning why the Canadian version has fewer than the U.S. version. But he was wrong. the ingredients list is roughly the same, although Canada's has natural colorings made from blueberries and carrots, while the U.S. product contains red dye 40, yellow 5, and blue 1, as well as butylated hydroxyautylene, or BHT, a lab-made chemical that's used for freshness. He's wrong, but he's exactly right. That's the New York Times knowing that RFK Jr. is consequential. And there's consequences to being the New York Times in a consequential era. CNN played the same game. Doctors say RFK Jr.'s anti-Ozempic stance perpetuates stigma and misrepresents evidence. Let's parse that a little bit. Doctors. Subtext all. It doesn't say some doctors or doctors who work at CNN or the doctors we talk to. It says doctors say RFK Jr.'s anti-Ozempic stance perpetuates stigma and misrepresents evidence. What is his stance? We should not normalize people eating in a way that makes them obese and then taking a pill so that they don't get obese, you know, for the rest of their lives. That's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
Young black kids growing up in the Bronx who don't even know what the word a computer is. They don't know. They don't know these things.
That was the Tower of Babbling on A Disciple's View.
Quick personal note today. Sometimes it's risky to compliment junior high boys for specific things. In one of the groups I work with about a week ago, I just observed that there's a kid in there. He's smaller in stature than most of the boys. So he plays sports, he tries, but his body's not there. But dang it, I can't help but laugh at some of the things these kids say. His one-liners are amazing, and usually they walk a line. But the other night, he explained the difference between God who is love and us who can love. And I got to pull him aside and say to him, I don't want your friends to hear me say this, but you are gifted intellectually. He said, what? I said, you are gifted intellectually. He looked there for a second, looked around and said, wow, thank you. I hope he will steward it. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and Word was God. Until God gives us permission to speak again together, may his peace wash over you. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman, and this has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.